WUSM Hattiesburg.
It's time for the 4th Street Sports Show, an award-winning program dedicated to all things Southern Miss athletics. If they're playing it, we're covering it.
By Jackson Kennedy on my left, Amari Anderson on my right, and Isaiah Bell on my right as well. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the 4th Street Sports Show. Glad to have you in studio today. We have a jam-packed show. We are glad to be back in studio for the first time in the fall semester. We were going to be on last week, had a little bit of a producing error, but it's okay. We're here this week, Jackson and Amari and Isaiah, and we're ready to go. So we got a jam-packed show. We have the defensive coordinator Dan O'Brien for Southern Miss football on. We have the head volleyball coach Jenny Hazelwood live in the studio with us, and a lot more to come. So let's jump into Eagle Eye. Jackson, what's going on in women's soccer?
Well, there's a lot going on in women's soccer, Dima. So the Southern Miss soccer team, which is 1-2 and 0-0 in the SBC, secured a 2-1 victory against Mississippi Valley State, who is 0-3 at the moment, at the Southern Miss soccer complex. At 36 feet, Parker Martin, assisted by Rebecca Vega, scored a goal past goalkeeper Ludacia Reynolds to make the score 1-1, closing out the first period. This marked Martin's first collegiate goal and her first of the season. At 70 minutes, midfielder Adara Nakano scored an unassisted goal, making the score 2-1 in favor of the Golden Eagles. This goal marked Nakano's first of the season. On the defensive front, goalkeeper Alex Hellberg faced 7 shots and made 5 saves. Offensively, the team's 24 shots in this game were the most since 2 years ago when they attempted 27 shots against Nichols Estate. Next up, the Golden Eagles will welcome Northwestern State on August 31st at the Southern Miss Soccer Complex. The matchup is slated for 4 p.m.
Thank you, Jackson. Let's go to volleyball. Southern Miss Women's Volleyball opened the season at the Flo Hammond Classic on the campus of the University of Houston with contests against the 19th-ranked Houston Cougars, the 22nd-ranked USC Trojans. Southern Miss started its season opener strong by capturing in the first set against number 23 Rice, but the Owls took control of the next 3 sets and won the series 3-1. They went on to play number 19 Houston. They lost that game 3-1, played number 22 USC, and lost that game 3-0. So obviously a learning experience for the ladies as they played some of these ranked teams, but good to get that experience on the road. They turned to the Stephen F. Austin tournament, starting with Nichols on Friday. A lot more on women's volleyball later as we get the head coach of the women's volleyball. She's live here in studio. Amari, what's going on between the pylons?
Well, first and foremost, Dima, Southern Miss football is back this week.
Let's go.
Let's go.
It's game week.
It's
literally raining outside.
That means that it hopefully won't be 107 degrees on the heat index. But continue.
Amari, what else is going on?
On Tuesday, Southern Miss's head coach Will Hall named Billy Wiles to the starting QB for the Golden Eagles this season. This announcement follows a tight quarterback battle in fall camp between Wiles and a Houston transfer, Holman Edwards. Hall said that Wiles won the job because he was just a little bit better than Edwards. It's game week, which means a plethora of activities all around Hattiesburg. So be looking out for some 2023 Southern Miss football preview newspaper, which will be out near the middle of the week, and be looking out Thursday for our podcast and the post-game pod this weekend.
I think it's going to be a lot of fun be out there covering the game. So, Jackson, Amari, Isaiah, I'll go to you first. What is your favorite thing about football starting this week? What is like just makes you want to get up on Saturday and ready to go?
I want to know how many touchdowns you're going to score against Alcorn.
That's what
I'm ready to see.
How many do you think?
I'm going to give him 4.
4 touchdowns? You think you're going higher, Jackson, or lower?
I have Jenny Hazelwood in the studio looking at me, and she's looking at me saying 6. And I've just got to go, I'm thinking 6, maybe 7. Look, man, I've got to reserve at least you know, one, probably two, three, eight touchdowns for my boy Brandon
this
Hayes.
This guy, man. We can't even go 4 minutes into the show without hearing his name.
That's because you didn't project them to go on your depth chart, Dima. I got to shout out.
Hey, that's a phantom depth chart. That is a phantom. That is a phantom depth chart. Phantom depth chart. We're not talking about it. They posted the depth chart. Amari, how many touchdowns are they scoring?
I'm going to go five.
Five. I think that's a safe number. And Jackson's over here going to be like, Brandon Hayes can go five.
okay. One to two. Okay, like I'll be realistic if you want me to.
All right, so that was our eagle eye on going on women's soccer, volleyball, and football. Next week, we will have our flower section back because we'll have a lot of teams to pull from. We'll have women's soccer playing this weekend. We have volleyball playing this weekend. Of course, we have Southern Miss football. So our flower section at the end of the show, we'll be back. We're fixing to go to break, and we'll be back on the other side with Southern Miss football head defensive coordinator Dan O'Brien. So we'll see you on the other side of that interview. Back on 4th Street, going to preview this interview with Dan O'Brien, defensive coordinator. Pre-recorded this interview just about a week and a half ago. This was supposed to be the interview last week, but once again, we had that little bit of a technical difficulty. Couldn't get on the air, so I hope you enjoyed this interview. It runs about 9 minutes, so sit back and enjoy this interview with defensive coordinator for the football team, Dan O'Brien. Welcome back to 4th Street Sports Show. Diva Mixon joined by defensive coordinator for Southern Miss, Dan O'Brien. Dan, thank you so much for being on the show today.
Yeah, absolutely. Appreciate you having me on.
So, today, we're recording this on Friday, so 13 days of fall camp. I know that our fans, our listeners, want to know all about this defense, what they're bringing back. What is, like, the number one thing you've seen over fall camp that's an improvement from last year? You know, just name some things you've seen during fall camp.
Yeah, so, you know, for the most part, we're doing a lot of the same stuff. You know, we'll have some different personnel packages than we've had in the past. You're trying to utilize some guys that we have that have unique talents to put them in certain situations in games that will give us the most success that we feel like. You know, the one big thing is, you know, you kind of realize right now is we have a lot of depth. You know, our first year here, we had zero depth. Last year, we kind of built it up a little bit, but right now we feel like we're in a really good spot. You know, a lot of positions are three deep plus one, so you know, we got all of our numbers back, but at the same time, you know, you got really good players and that creates a lot of competition. You know, our guys go out every day and they battle against whether it's the ones, the twos, or the threes, doesn't really matter. Those guys are out there and they're competing not only with the guy across from them, with the other guys in the room, because, you know, we talk about it all the time here that competition breeds greatness and, you know, it makes everybody that much better. So, outside of that, I mean, the physicality, the tenacity, the attacking style of play, you know, all that stuff's going to be pretty much the same.
And you've been a part of Southern Miss for a few years, and you coached under Coach Armstrong. Just walk us through your journey here at Southern Miss to get to the defensive coordinator now at a premier D1 school.
Yeah, so, I mean, you know, I actually had never worked with Coach Hall before. Majority of the guys on staff have. I just happened to be with Austin at Georgia in 2019, and that's where we first met. And, you know, obviously, you know, I'd been involved in that Saban, Smart, Belichick tree of coaching for eight years. So, you know, I kind of knew the ins and outs of that scheme. You know, when Austin was there as a off-the-field support staff role with me, like, you know, I knew exactly what the day-to-day operation was, what to expect every day, how was it to be expected to be done. So, you know, Austin kind of leaned on me then, just having been in that system before. And, you know, we got really, really close. You know, Greg Meyer and I actually shared an office there at Georgia. So, I mean, that's really where our relationship developed. And then, you know, he went to UL the next year. I stayed at Georgia. And then, you know, as soon as Coach Hall got the job, he called Austin about being his DC. And, you know, Austin called me and was like, hey, man, I only get to bring a handful of, like, two guys or one guy, and, you know, I want you to be that guy. And then I went through the interview process with Coach Hall. And, you know, I think just being here for 2 years working under Coach Hall, you know, I think he saw what I brought to the table. And, you know, he and I are more alike than probably me and Coach Armstrong in terms of our sideline antics and all that. But, I mean, it's been great. You know, we have a great relationship, not only me and Coach Hall, but, you know, everybody on staff. You know, it's great to be a part of a system and a team and an organization that, you know, everybody kind of sees eye to eye on how we do things. And then, you know, how can we all get better at the same time?
Yeah, and I want to talk about some of your players starting the defensive line. Obviously, Jalen Williams back. Just
talk about him. Talk about the D-line and what they bring to opposing offenses.
Yeah, so, I mean, there's Jalen right there. obviously Jalen's a really, really good player. He can do a little bit of everything in terms of the line movement stuff, but at the same time, you know, be able to play base technique and strike and create separation and win on double teams. And, you know, between him, Quentin Bivens, I'm probably going to leave somebody out, but Josh Ratcliffe, Bradarius Lewis. I mean, we've got more depth and size up front than we have ever had. I mean, you know, it's almost like you're the seventh or eighth best defensive line in the SEC West. So we feel really good about where we're at. We have a lot of talent. We got a lot of mass, a lot of size there. And then you still got like Kristen Booth and Eric Thomas on the outside, and Ely Fuvai. And I mean, we feel really, really good about that defensive front and where we can get to as the season gets going here.
And then the linebackers, obviously Swayze and Hayes back. Then losing Habas, I'm sure, was a big deal for y'all. How big of a change have you seen in the team, especially with Josh Carr coming on right there, just filling that role for Avery? And how important is it that he's out there still coaching and stuff?
Yeah, I mean, it's great to have Habas back in the building. I mean, you know, he's an unbelievable human being. You know, great to be around. You know, positive attitude every day. He's out there helping the younger guys, being the leader that he's always been out there and encouraging guys as on the sideline to get going and fire him up. But, I feel really good about the linebacking crew. You know, obviously you get Swayze, you get Hayes, you get TQ back, who really didn't go through a whole lot during the spring. So they kind of missed out during the spring on the installation. But, those guys have played so much football that there's so much carryover for them that is they haven't missed a beat. Really excited about Jalen Sims. I think he's going to help us a lot this year. You got a guy like Colby Cage that came in. That's a really good player. In our Jack room, we got unbelievable talent there, not only with Josh, but you got Jaleel Clemens in there as well. So you got, two guys that are elite level pass rushers right there that if we can find a way to be able to cut them loose in some passing situations, we're hoping it'll strike some fear into quarterbacks. I'm really excited about the whole linebacking crew, not only the interior guys, but obviously the edge guys as well.
And then, losing Natron Brooks and Eric Scott in the secondary, two big losses. But, I mean, Dylan Lawrence and Jay Stanley kind of filling in nicely there. Talk about them and then the cornerbacks as well.
Yeah, so our corner room, we got some experience back. Obviously, B. Tolles has played for 2 years. You got Mike Caraway back. So you got guys that have played before. You bring in MJ Daniels, who's another long guy that can run and cover and physicality, that brings physicality there. So we feel really good about it. You got Quez McNeil as well who at that corner spot. So, we still got depth there. Some of it may just be they don't have the playing experience here, but, MJ played a little bit at Ole Miss, and you got these guys at the corner spot that give you a lot of depth right there. And it's probably one of the biggest secondaries I've ever been around in my career. I mean, I don't know if anybody in our corner room is under 6 foot. You got length there, you got size and speed. And then, obviously in the safety and star room, you got, you bring in Dylan Lawrence, you bring in Elijah Sabatini, you got Jay Stanley back. Cam Knox is a guy that played some time for us last year. You got Jeremiah Robinson back as well. So, you're bringing some guys back. So you got depth where you feel like you like it. Dylan's been a great asset. Obviously, you don't find too many that look like him at 6'4", 215 pounds that can run almost 23 miles an hour. So, that type of body type is very unique to playing in that defensive backfield. But, obviously a guy like Jay Stanley, who's, been up for multiple preseason awards right now and preseason watch lists. So, I'm excited about where his potential could be this year. And, you got him and Dylan playing next to each other, all bets are off because you got two guys that are really, really big, fast, and physical that can make plays. And then, we moved Jay Jones from that safety spot to star, which gives you a little different body type out there because, he's 6 foot, 205 pounds, and can cover, run, and hit. And then Markel McLaurin is another one who played corner last year that we moved inside. So,
final question for you, Coach. What should Southern Miss fans expect to see from the formation? Should they look for it to be any different than Coach Armstrong's? Or I noticed a lot in practice you bring a lot different blitzes, but just formation-wise, any different? I know you're not going to, give away any formation, but
I think the biggest difference is probably our personnel packaging. I'm more of a Saban smart style of matching up personnels on personnels. A lot of that's going to depend on what they're trying to do to us, but you know, for the most part, it's going to be very similar. I mean, we're going to attack, you know, and my third down pressure is maybe a little more exotic than Coach Armstrong's, but, you know, I laugh about it with Coach Greg all the time because he don't want to have to try to pick any of that stuff up, and he's happy he's probably not going to see a lot of it throughout the season. So, but it's good for everybody because everybody gets good work. And like I said, I mean, we got a lot of really good players, and just finding a way to get all those guys involved in different roles really brings a lot of success to our defense. So as much as we can do that type of stuff, you know, we're going to. But I mean, we're going to attack. It's Southern Miss. It's a nasty bunch. That's what we're built on, and that's what we're all about. So we're going to play an attacking style of play that's going to be physical and in your face.
Coach O'Brien, thank you. We'll see you at the Rock a few Saturdays from now.
Absolutely. Appreciate it. Thank you.
That was Dan O'Brien. Thanks, Dan, for doing that on a few Fridays ago. Glad to be able to put that on the air. We'll be right back here on 4th Street Sports Show with the head volleyball coach, Southern Miss head volleyball coach Janie Hazelwood. We'll be right back on the other side of this break. Thanks for listening to the 4th Street Sports Show. Back on 4th Street Sports Show, joined here by head volleyball coach Janie Hazelwood. Janie, thanks so much for coming on the show today.
Thank you for having me.
So your team just getting back from Houston at the Invitational that y'all went to. Just talk about that. Just talk about your trip. You know, opening the season is always crazy. A lot of moving parts. Just tell us about a little bit about your journey.
Yeah, I mean, we knew that starting the weekend with three top 25 teams. Now, scheduling is different, right? Like, you're going to schedule to – so the original schedule, we knew we'd play Rice and USC. And then from there, just how it worked out that Houston joined that. But we were excited for the opportunity because we really do have a lot of returning point scorers from last year. And so we knew, okay, we're fine with being tested early, and we got to learn so much about ourselves. And we did a lot of good things. We held Houston to the lowest hitting percentage of the weekend, of the three matches they played. And they moved up to 13 in the rankings this week. And it's the highest they've ever been ranked. Houston's really, really good. So there was a lot of things that we did well and a lot that we can learn from so that we can just keep getting better.
Yeah, and, you know, playing those ranked opponents sometimes, it's difficult because, you know, sometimes you go and just teams are – I mean, what are some ways that you saw your team, even playing that type of opponent, you know, able to improve from – I mean, I'm sure you're quite surprised at some of the –
We knew that we had the talent, right? We have really strong players in every position, and there are different systems you can run, whether it's with one setter on the court or switching in and out two different setters. And so we did that. We ran a 6-2, and both of our setters are freshmen. And so we knew there'd be just adjustments. Freshmen, you know, when you get under the lights and it's, you know, a real match, freshmen are trying to kind of figure out themselves, and it's mostly in a way of they're super competitive, and so they want to do everything they can to help the team. And so just controlling some of those emotions and just, I mean, really excitement and nervousness, all of that wrapped into one. So opening with Rice was a great opportunity for us as well. They also moved up in the rankings to 18th, and they've been consistently an outstanding program, but had, you know, some new pieces. They had some top pieces graduate, and one of their incoming freshmen. So we win the first set, and one of their freshmen, who has been one of the top rated recruits in the country, she came in and she played great. And then the next night against USC, she played great. Just so outstanding young freshman that was able to come in and just after that first set kind of change the tide. And but we learned a lot about ourselves too. Our team didn't give up. They kept fighting. And the next night at Houston, it was, you know, Houston obviously such a good team. And late in the fourth, it was close enough for them to worry, if we go five and then you go five, anybody can win. It doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. And so, it was kind of getting to that point. So I feel like we really pushed and tested what we think we are and are not capable of. And now it's just a matter of getting our players' experience together.
That's awesome. Just for the listeners, just highlight some players. You know, everybody knows Mia Wesley and what she did last season. I mean, I think she was our fourth in the fourth street poll like every single week when volleyball season was going on. Just some other players that have impacted the team, some standout players you've seen, some new recruits, all that stuff.
Yeah, so Mia Wesley is, for as outstanding as she was last season, she's playing even better volleyball. So that's a credit to the entire team, because all of our returners came back and they're playing better. So Kaylin Demps, she played last year, probably grew a lot through about the first two-thirds of the season. The last third of the season, especially in the NIVC tournament, like, we saw a different player. And just the experience and maturity and all that. Well, she comes back this fall and she's significantly better. And she was already good, and so she can be dominant. And then Izzy Cronenberg is another player that has come back and has just been such a positive player for us in not just point scoring, able to get kills, but just doing all the little things that go into a match, which a coach could tell you.
So how are you keeping the team motivated and focused despite, you know, facing a challenging start to the season?
We knew that a few things. You're playing teams that are really strong, so you have to focus on just the match, what we're doing, execute, and the results take care of themselves. And we did a really nice job of that because you could see it in just the outcome, like that we were right there. And so we keep them process focused and process oriented. And hey, guys, you know, we're working on building to this. And if we're not going to shortcut it. You're not going to be able to get to where we want to be. There are no shortcuts. And so just keeping them laser focused on what is important, and that's training and playing a certain way, training hard and consistently bringing everything we have each day to the gym when we're together.
And so in terms of player development, how are you addressing like personal strengths and weaknesses, and like how can you see certain players or the team itself growing as the season goes on?
We are very, very fortunate in all of the areas that touch our program. So our strength and conditioning coach, Michael Cullen, what he does with our athletes in that area, and then with our athletic trainer, Tori Reebok, she, you know, it's all of us working together. And so across the board, we got numbers because we do force plate jump testing, and there's long-term looks in that. And the numbers, all of our players improved, every single one of them that returned. And in metrics that matter on the volleyball court. So they're measuring things like the force off the ground or the amount of time, and then how it changes their jump height. And when they're seeing that, they're seeing that what is happening in the big picture of the program, our players are getting stronger, jumping higher, faster. It's working well. And it's a huge credit to all of us saying, hey, look, this is a big picture that we all are a part of, and not, well, we just got to get better at volleyball, and hey, I need you to get them stronger, and we just make sure they're not injured. It's we all do it together. And so the players are improving overall because it's all working well together.
And how much of that kind of goes into playing some of these tougher opponents? Because, you know, obviously your record, you know, is 0-3, but you still get so much more, you know, experience when you play teams along that caliber, and you can look at that tape. I mean, how does that kind of go into that as well?
It absolutely makes a difference,
right?
Because, you know, I mean, you see plenty of teams that it's like, okay, you think you've got a pretty good group coming back, and so then trying to schedule, and scheduling is difficult. You know, it's just not as simple as we want to play this team. But yeah, you'll always see every season a few teams that go undefeated, maybe in the non-conference or mostly undefeated, and then it's like they never really challenge themselves. So it takes a minute. If they're a decent team, it can sometimes take a minute, and they could take some losses in conference that maybe they shouldn't or whatever, because they haven't problem solved their weaknesses. So we embrace that failure means we learn. So and when we're getting them to change a skill, we've got to embrace that. And so when we're trying to perform at the highest level, you know, right there competing with top 25 teams, we have to risk losing. Yeah. Do you have to do that? And so for us, it's like, hey, we're putting ourselves out there and we're going to work our tails off because we know we can be a great team.
Yeah.
So I know that the record isn't what you're hoping it should be right now, but when times are tough like this, I know you have to have that player on the team that, you know, that keeps everybody going. Who's that player for y'all? Who's the leader?
We have such a unique group of people because we have different leaders that lead in what is their strength. So, for example, we talked about Mia Wesley, and she is just insanely driven. Our team is driven overall. She's on the insanely driven end of the spectrum. And so she's just not going to ever let the determination and sheer willpower to do things not be a part of what we do. And then you've got Kara Atkinson, who is such a great leader in, you know, her actions on the court and off the court, but also vocally and, you know, helping keep things organized. And Megan Harris is unbelievable with her more positive spirit and just kind of who she is. And so she can keep be the one that goes to somebody that maybe needs to be picked up. And we just have a great balance among our entire team. And it's not just those, you know, we have players that don't play that are huge in the overall, hey, this is what we want to be about. Because when you've got players over there on the bench that didn't get in a match this weekend, but we still need them. We need them in practice to be great. We need them in a match. They were constantly cheering and, you know, little chant things when the other team's serving, just into it, and it matters. And so we just have players in this program that understand what's important, and that's what they focus on.
Headed to Stephen F. Austin this weekend. Just can you preview that? Obviously, you're not playing USC or anything like that, yeah. So a little bit more better looking on the schedule, I guess.
Yeah, well, a fun fact, too, my daughter is at USC, and she did get in the match. So at least wow. I was there for her first match. I mean, it was when they beat us. But
and she was playing y'all.
She did, yes.
So her first match, she was playing you.
That's pretty cool. Yeah, I bet you got to hear about that one.
And it was, well, and I mean, it's so funny because we both obviously love each other, but respect each other. So we were like, you know about my team, I know about your team. Fair game. Like, it's fair game. You tell them whatever you want. And, I mean, I'm not going to lie. She has a huge advantage in that because she knows how we coach. So she knew everything. She's like, they're going to start off doing this, and then they're going to do this, and then if they and she wasn't wrong. We didn't talk about Shoals after. But, obviously, USC is incredibly talented, too, and they're a team that's going to keep improving. They're trying to fill in some pieces with, you know, some injured people being out, but she's had a great time. But it was such a fun weekend, too, because, and I know you asked me about Stephen F. Austin, but one of her very best friend is on the team at Houston.
Oh, that's fun.
And so it was great because two of their club teammates are at Southern, and then, you know, my daughter at USC and Sonny Shepard at Houston, so they all got to see each other.
One big family reunion.
I know, it was awesome. So, but looking forward to Stephen F. Austin. Cal Poly is a team that's there, Nicholls State, and then obviously Stephen F. Austin. Stephen F. Austin, I haven't watched film on them yet, but, you know, some up and down matches this weekend. So they had graduated a number of seniors. We played them last year that were huge contributors, but, you know, they're a great program consistently top in their conference. So we know that they're decent. Cal Poly's good. Mm-hmm. They've got players, their setter's good. They've got an outside that can really score. And so they're just very well put together. So we're going to, you know, that's going to be another team to challenge us, and we have to play well. And so we're excited about the weekend because it's going to give us, just again, more information and more data to get us closer to where we want to be.
You opened the season in Hattiesburg September 8th against Nicholls in the Golden Eagle Classic. I think it's an annual Golden Eagle Classic. Just talk, just send a message to the fans. Be there, be loud, you know.
For sure. And Nicholls, again, in this first weekend, all of us coaches are playing all of our matches, but kind of keeping up with how teams are doing that we play maybe next weekend. And Nicholls had a great opening weekend. And so, you know, but obviously we play them this upcoming weekend, and then they're coming to our tournament as well. So we'll have, we'll know them pretty well. But it's still the first time for our fans to see us in action. That's not the black gold scrimmage where, you know, we're kind of splitting the teams pretty even. And they are fun to watch. So much fun to watch. And just in person, it's different. So you can watch on TV and you can be like, oh, that's fun. In person, it's just so different. And just because it's fast and it's unbelievable. I mean, I'm still even in awe of some of the plays players will make because it just wasn't that fast of a game back in the old days. So
I will say, even in the scrimmage, the energy was unmatched. Like, so I can't wait to see what it's going to be like when the games actually start.
Yeah. And it's air conditioned. Yes. You know, that's a big thing.
Exactly. You know, I mean, just we're always going to have that air conditioning on. And so if you're, anybody's hot, you just
right.
Come,
I mean,
come
you
on.
Just need to go watch a volleyball game.
That's right.
Yeah. Well, Miss Jenny, thanks so much for coming on.
Thank you.
We really appreciate you taking the time to come on the show, talk a little volleyball. Southern Miss going to Stephen F. Austin this weekend for the tournament. And then next weekend, they will be at home. Like we said, playing Nichols. I believe it's a 1 p.m. match.
So we've got a whole other tournament for that. So
yeah,
it's
hard
it
to
up.
Look forward to it. So go to the Wellness Center to watch them play next weekend and keep up with them all weekend as we hope that y'all get y'all's first win. So thanks so much for coming on the show. We'll be right back on 4th Street Sports Show with our flowers section. So stay tuned.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's that time of the show. We're now giving flowers.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's not that time of the show because we don't have flowers this week, unfortunately. I'm sorry. That was the great Logan Maxwell. Thanks, Logan. We will keep that for as long as I'm here. So you at least are hearing that another 2 years because I remember when he recorded that and we were just amazed by his voice. So
it's immaculate.
It really is. Like, I mean, it's crazy. So that was Jenny Hazelwood, volleyball. Thanks so much for coming on the show. I think one of the first times in 4th Street history we had two interviews. So, but we have a lot of time to talk here, so I want to get into some football action. We got Alcorn State this weekend. We have a lot of coverage coming to you this week. We'll have interviews tomorrow and Wednesday. We'll have a pregame podcast coming out Friday morning. And that'll include Prince Pick'em, so that will be back. And then we're going to add another podcast, which is a post-game podcast, as well as after the game on Saturday night. Jackson, what is the number one thing you're looking forward to this weekend, other than football being back, of course?
We just took away, like, numbers 1 through 5, you know? Number one thing you're looking forward to this weekend, besides
number one thing
weekend.
You want to see. You want to see the game.
Okay, I thought you just – like,
it cannot include Brandon Hayes. I'm sorry.
I'm about to leave the studio. Okay, so the first thing that I'm looking forward to is I'm looking forward to a lot of these position groups that have been overlooked or that have been dogged on to kind of go ahead and start to prove their worth, you know? So Dima and I were talking off recording, as we sometimes do.
only a little bit.
Only a little bit. Dima responds to 1 out of 4 messages. I've got a... It's like a flip a coin, but the coin like only has half of a side that works. So we were talking and we were like, you know, Alcorn's going to be a pretty legit. And we're going to get into that because we've got, you know, 13 minutes left. But one thing that I'm looking forward to is especially things like the cornerbacks or like the wide receivers. And I didn't just say wide receivers so I can mention Brandon Hayes, but since you shot me that look, I had to say it. Anyways, I had to clarify myself. But no, so you know, obviously a lot of star power was left behind after last year, and obviously you've still got star power with, you know, Frank Gore Jr., Jaleel Clemens, TQ Newsom, Swayze Bozeman, all that kind of stuff. Of course, you've still got it, but Jason Brownlee. Anytime the ball went into the air, 7 times out of 10, it was the Jason Brownlee show.
Speaking of Jason Brownlee, we have some breaking news real quickly.
Breaking news.
He just announced on his Facebook that he has made the 53-man roster at the New York Jets.
Big congratulations.
I guess we can say for the first time this season, dog making dog. Just absolute
dog
making
dog.
So I will say our flowers today go out to Jason Brownlee for making the 53-man roster. We do not. I don't think he's coming back to the studio to get his flowers.
I will drive to Jersey. If Jason Brownlee texts the 4th Street Sports, I'm driving.
On the student media fund, you know?
They haven't hired me. How would I be on a student media fund?
All right, back to your number one thing.
But going back to it.
I interrupted.
So a lot of star power was lost. You know, Jason Brownlee, who now has officially made the 53-man roster and is now in a wide receiver room with the likes of Garrett Wilson, Offensive Rookie of the Year,
Ohio State.
Allen Lazard. I'm going to throw something at you. Allen Lazard, Randall Cobb. You have all these fantastically talented wide receivers, and Jason Brownlee's in a room with them, competed with them,
yes,
and won out a spot.
That's pretty crazy.
So that shows you, I mean, imagine if Southern Miss had consistent quarterback play, Jason Brownlee probably would have gotten 1,500-yard seasons. I don't think that's crazy to assume, especially if...
I mean, he got, 850 last year with...
Yeah, 850
no
last year. Yeah, so. Yeah. And so, it's not that crazy to assume. And so, a big hole is left behind,
right?
You know? A big hole is left behind. But these guys, they're willing to take it. Dima, you and I have been at fall camp. You and I have talked to people after practice. I like talking to people I haven't met before, so I'll just be standing on the sideline, just like, what's up? And we just start talking.
Yeah.
And these wide receivers are ready. Mm-hmm. They're ready to take on that role. And even at Sunbelt Media Day, people like Jay Stanley and Cole Cavallo are like, hey, everybody's going to be getting fed.
Yeah.
So I'm excited to see how the wide receivers are going to step up. I'm also doubly excited to see how the DBs are going to step up. Because on the first day of fall camp, I was watching, and you know that was a big question mark coming into the season of like, hey, this is going to be concerning.
Right.
It's going to be concerning because you lost Natron Brooks, you lost Malik Shorts, you lost Eric Scott Jr. But if you take away Jay Stanley as well, that is the entire DB room. You know,
right. Secondary for sure.
Especially all the starters, the ones that got the most play time, the ones that Southern Miss fans recognize the most. And so a lot of people were saying, oh, they're going to suck. No. Southern Miss has always been – I was honestly about to ask Coach Hazelwood this, like, about how she feels about the Southern Miss mentality. Like, any Southern Miss sport, it's always just the next man up.
Yeah.
And that's what it is. And the first practice, I was a little concerned for the offense because the DBs were insane, and I was just standing on the sideline with MJ Daniels and Brennan Tolles, and I was like, man, y'all look scary. Y'all look fantastic. And they all seemed shocked that I said that. And they looked at me and they're like, thank you. And I was like, what? They're like, and I think it was Brennan Tolles. He was like, everybody's been saying that we were going to suck this year. And I was like, well, you don't. Y'all are so good. And he's like, thank you. And like, I'm excited for more people to be saying that, because not even people like Brennan Tolles and Michael Caraway Jr. and Jay Stanley, you added MJ Daniels. You added Dylan Lawrence. These guys are going to be physically imposing. It's going to take a little bit for them to find their place, obviously, in the defense, because all three of the guys that Southern Miss lost, they've been there a while. But it's going to take a little bit of time for them to find their place. But once they do, this backfield has a chance to compete with last year to be just as competent and just as good, in my opinion. So I'm excited to see, you know, this weekend is going to be the start of that process.
Yeah. That was a long segment. I'm what was the number one thing you were looking to see? Because that's 6 minutes.
I was excited for the
secondary.
Look, man, I saw a 14 sign up there, and I look across from me from two people who haven't been on the radio yet, and I was like, I'm not going to put the impetus on that.
Like, I'm not going to lie, though.
Okay,
like,
Amari, what would be the number one thing you're looking forward to this weekend?
Just hearing you guys talk about how good fall camp was, I'm on my toes. I'm ready to see what they're going to do. Like, I'm excited.
Yeah.
But I'm definitely excited for tailgating.
Tailgating.
Love good food, good music. Yeah.
What's your number one tailgate food?
Gonna have to go with like a good hamburger.
You can't beat it.
You can't beat a good hamburger.
Can't beat it, man.
Fresh meat.
Yeah. Isaiah, number one thing you're looking forward to this weekend for football?
I'm going to say the weather. It's probably going to be hot, but at the same time, it's football weather. Got to get used to it.
You looking forward to burning up?
If football's on, I'm looking forward to it.
I was glad when they announced it was a 6 o'clock game.
My girlfriend is one of the captains of the Dixie Darlings, and she was looking at me. She was like, dog. And I was like, what? She was like, I don't know if I can do this. And I was like, what do you mean? She's like, they haven't announced the game time, and it's going to be super hot. And whenever they announced the game time, I hadn't even figured out. You know, Dima and I like to just refresh Twitter because we're addicts. But we're just kind of just looking for any Southern Miss news we can get. And I say we just to make it so I don't feel weird. But anyways, I just get a text from Cassidy, and she's like, thank God. And I'm like, well, she's like, it's 6 o'clock. And I just felt so glad for them because standing on the front of the field, because like if you've seen pregame or halftime, the band and the Dixie Darlings in full uniform just stand there.
Yeah.
And that was a 2 o'clock.
I mean, I saw them at Spirit Park like Thursday.
Yeah.
And it was 112 and they're standing out there rehearsing and I'm like, oh my goodness.
And I know for sure, the band's going to be in for one. I know Alcorn has a really good band. Yeah, so I'm looking forward to hearing that.
And they travel well. Alcorn State fans, I think you're going to see a lot of people there.
They have I think they're going to leave from here and head down to New Orleans. They have like a swag band meet or something.
Oh, nice.
Sunday. So.
Really cool.
I would say for me that the number one thing I'm looking forward to this weekend, I really want to see what Southern Miss's offense looks like with a quarterback who – is recruited to play quarterback. And I understand, you know, Ty Keyes was recruited to play quarterback, and even Trey Lowe, Zach Wilkie, all those guys. But this is the first time, I think, in Will Hall's tenure that you're going to see somebody back there who was not only recruited to play quarterback, this guy played quarterback at Clemson University, who's a national powerhouse in college football. I mean, obviously, he wasn't the starter at Clemson, and he wasn't getting, you know, playing time at Clemson. That's why he transferred. But just to be recruited by Dabo Swinney and being on a roster with the likes of Trevor Lawrence and DJ Uiagalelei and all the players that Clemson have had on that roster, I think it's just a telltale sign. And you see it in fall camp, just the difference that makes just with adding a competent quarterback. And I hope both play. I really do. I know we have Billy Wiles as the starter, but I really hope we see both play. And I think we will. But like we said, we want to save a lot of the Alcorn State talk for the Alcorn State preview podcast, which will be out on Thursday. We're recording on Thursday, so it should be out Thursday night-ish. But I'm looking forward to that. That's the number one thing I'm looking forward to seeing. And I want to see what the secondary does against a dual-threat quarterback. Alcorn State, this guy, 4-star out of high school. Okay, so this is a number 12 recruitment number 12 dual threat in the 2021 class. He got offers from Michigan State. He got offers from Illinois and a lot of pretty good college football programs. Elected to go to Missouri. Went from Missouri to Alcorn State. This is his first year. They have an all-SWAC running back. So this is I think this is a very lethal duo in the backfield for Alcorn State. And I think it's very comparable to a Sun Belt style team. So I don't think that this is a Northwestern State team from last year who, you know, was just incompetent in football. No offense to them, but
offense to you guys. You were just incompetent. I'm just going to continue.
Bad football. granted, they were playing a very good defense, but I think Alcorn State's going to be able to kind of hang in there for at least a little bit. I mean, I'm not going to give away my score projection just yet, but you know, the last time this happened, Southern Miss, you know, kind of a question at quarterback, kind of a question on the defense. Alcorn State played Southern Miss in the opening game, 10-0 at halftime. That was it. You know, Southern Miss only up 10-0, and kind of people like, man, how long is this going to go? You know, so I remember Jalen Adams getting a kick return in that game. So got about 3 minutes left. Anything else y'all want to talk about? I see that it's raining outside. Can we just clap our hands? Lord have mercy, please. Thank you.
I think it's been like 2 weeks straight with no rain almost.
Yeah, and then yesterday and today we've gotten some rain, and that has it's quite nice.
I just hope it made its way out to my house, because like yesterday I was looking at it like a mile away and I was like, there's the rain, can you just please come this way? And it never did. So
just hopefully we can get some good weather for Saturday.
Yeah
like I'm
get a
just
little drizzle,
ready
maybe.
I'm just so ready for, like, you know, because, you know, Isaiah, I love your attitude. You're like, you know what? Whatever weather it's at, when there's a football game, that's football weather. And I'm like, fire me up, baby. Inject that in my veins.
Absolutely.
However, football weather is flannel and jeans weather. That's just, look, man, like flannel and jeans weather are like.
Well, you know, you got to go
wear
a sweater vest, though.
You don't. Okay.
That's Will Hall.
Okay.
Will Hall has a sweater vest.
It took me half a second.
High of 89, low of 74, 50% chance of rain on Saturday. So I think that's pretty good weather.
Sounds all right.
It's decent.
Hopefully it rains in the morning, cools off the night.
Rains in the morning, just kind of cools off the cooling needs, and then overcast all day, guys? Question mark? How we feel about that? That'd be quite nice.
All right, well, we're going to get out of here. Thanks so much for Dan O'Brien and Coach Hazelwood coming on the show. We really do appreciate it. So We'll be back next Monday, always at 5 p.m. Again, be looking for a lot of coverage this week. We got a first paper coming out to students. So if you're a student, be looking around for the first paper. Be out Wednesday or Thursday. Several articles going up throughout the week about the football game this coming Saturday. We'll have a podcast out Friday morning. We'll have a podcast Saturday night. We'll have interviews tomorrow. Just a lot of stuff coming your way. I want to thank Amari and Isaiah. This is their first time live on there. So just
y'all did great.
Won't be my last. So y'all make sure will not be your last.
Go follow them. Go do what you need to do. They are definitely not going to be their last time here. So you're listening to Southern Miss Radio. Jackson Kennedy to my left, Amari Anderson to my right, Isaiah Bell to my left, and I am Dima Mixon, and that was the 4th Street Sports Show.
Thank you for listening to the 4th Street Sports Show. We'll see you on the field or in your headphones real soon, and as always, Southern Miss to the top.